Been hearing today has explained to me what I'm going to be teaching this morning. But first of all, let me just say good morning, my brothers and sisters. Amen. The grace and the peace of God be with you. Now, when someone asks me to preach, I normally spend a bit of quiet time at home, put my hands together and ask the Lord, what shall it be? And when he told me, I want you to say, you must be kidding, because it was heavy. But everything that's been going on this morning in here makes me wonder. Today, I'm led to bring before you some thoughts about the Holy Spirit, who Father God has gifted to us through his Son, making him close and personal in the lives of each of us, everyone here. I thus invite you to open your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and I shall read verses 15 through to 20. And these words were spoken by our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. If you love me, you will obey my command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Blessed are those words of Scripture. So as I just said, I wanted to do a Jonah. I wanted to run away when the Lord said, no, I want you to preach on the Holy Spirit. I was going to go down the harbour and try to get a boat, but there's no boats going out of our harbour, unfortunately. Anyway, here we go. We know the Holy Spirit is real because the Holy Bible instructs us so. We know that the Holy Spirit is at work in the world today. We know that he dwells within every believer. We know that he alone can give us powers that surely we are so eager to receive. But perhaps some of us sometimes struggle. We don't always understand as much as we would like to about the Holy Spirit. And thus it is that I don't stand here before you claiming myself above you. I'm merely Alan, your brother in Christ. And that which I am led to speak of is as much addressing myself as it is to you. I consider myself limited in the knowledge of these matters. But the Lord said, get on with it, Alan. However, I know that there are many spiritual gifts, to name just a few: healing, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, serving, music, singing, preaching, teaching, mercy, evangelism, pastoring, and many more. But I'm not going to talk about most of what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. I want us to focus on one very, very important topic. It is this: how do we, how can we become filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, when I was last privileged to stand before you, it was Pentecost. And I gave mention of the amazing spiritual change that came about within the souls of Peter and John. So allow me, please, to read again those first 8 verses from Acts 3. I'll let you find them if you want. It's probably up there. Yeah, okay. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have. But what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Excuse me. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Wow. Peter and John had become filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet it was only about 2 months back that Peter had denied knowing Jesus. The calling for the Holy Spirit within church worship or individually is a fairly common happening. But the difference between what we read in the scriptures and what we experience in practice is in the level of expectation. Peter had said, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." And that man, crippled from birth, did. He got up and he walked. However, where lies our confidence when we call upon the Spirit? Do we expect with total confidence or with a mere percentage of hope? Speaking of myself, would it be right for me to say that the principle of "according to my faith be it unto me" operates most of the time? Likewise, maybe, "according to your faith be it unto you." Is there a connection between faith and being spirit-filled? And the answer is surely, yes, there is. So, how much do we really understand about the Holy Spirit? God the Father, we know quite well, but admit that there are so many aspects of the Almighty that remain beyond us, our human intellect. God the Son, Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. We think we know much about his whole story as told within our Bibles. But God the Holy Spirit, most of us know so little about. We accept that he is within us, and yet maybe we urgently need to know him more. And we need to open up our hearts and become, and listen to this next word, available to him, so that God can carry out, through his Holy Spirit, his will for us accordingly. Yes, we do meet together in this little house of God. We lift our voices and our hands in worship. We pray. We praise. We sing, and occasionally we speak tongues, we have interpretations, and we prophesy. But there is more. Oh yes, Oh yes, there is so much more. Living a spirit-filled life is about having faith in God, being obedient to God, and allowing ourselves to become spirit-filled and empowered. And that last statement is the difficult bit. Allowing ourselves. We are Pentecostals. And what we are talking of here is one of the most important principles of our spiritual life. If we can just open ourselves humbly, truly, and sincerely, then God-given power does await. And I'm not just speaking prophecy and tongues. No, no. Much, much more. And filled to the brim. Surely. Surely that must be our desire. Filled, just as were Peter and John in that scripture that we just read. Some might want to say, what is this filling of the Spirit? What difference does it make? How does it happen? But before we go any further, there is a question we all need to have asked of ourselves. Have we fully and truly accepted the Holy Spirit within? Have we really accepted this wonderful gift? Or are we a bit self-centered and therefore reluctant to surrender ourselves fully? Are we so set in our individual ways that there is only a little room available within our hearts? Are we too busy to find space within our souls for everything God desires for us? Yes, it's true. Almighty Father God wants us to be filled with His Spirit. It is so easy, brothers and sisters, to be brainwashed by the society in which we live. So easy to accept standards that have become normal. But God doesn't want us to fit comfortably into this world. He wants all of us, each one of us, for Himself. As believers, we have been chosen and called to serve Him. God has chosen us, you and I. We are believers in a world of unbelievers. But we cannot buy the Holy Spirit. Being regular church attenders, putting lots of money in the collection box, studying the Bible every day, praying a dozen or more times daily does not carry full value unless our hearts are free and willing to make ourselves fully available for Him. There, I said it again, available. Frank Sinatra sung, I did it my way. Well, I've tried doing it my way. It doesn't work. And it didn't work. Then something happened. And I felt Jesus come more deeply into my life. He wanted more of me. And He still does. Maybe that's your story too. How available are we really for Him? Let's get back to that big question. How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? I believe this is one of the most important principles of spiritual life. We all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We all admit that we are not perfect. We are sinners. We know the need of having our Saviour by our sides, and we yearn to grasp more and more of that wonderful source of power that is the Spirit. Yes, it is true. The Holy Spirit does dwell within the hearts of true believers. And as I stand here and look out among you, I see believers. I see lots of believers, lots of lovely brothers and sisters in Christ. That great, great preacher of the 19th century that I normally bore the Bible detectives with, Charles Spurgeon, said this, The most important thing church needs in this time is God's Holy Spirit. He said that in the 19th century. And I believe we still should be saying that today. Yes, more and more, we of our Lord's churches need to discover or rediscover the Holy Spirit and learn anew with humbleness and reverence to depend more on Him, because we really can depend on Him. We can depend on Him much more than we can depend on ourselves. Can I invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 21. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Did you grasp that last line? Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Yes. Love each other. Be there for each other when things get tough. Open our arms to one another when comfort is needed. Be there for each other to share joy. Pick each other up when we fall. And yes, indeed, let us always and remain this loving church family that we have become. Going back to verses 15 and 16, what we just read, we read of having wisdom and not being foolish in this evil age. And verse 17 told of our need to understand God's will. 18 spoke of not getting drunk with wine. 19 mentions our need to have a joyful heart filled with singing to the Lord. Verse 20 informs us about having a heart filled with thanksgiving. And verse 21 reminds us that we need the attitude of mutual submission. If we want to be filled spiritually, all of those verses just mentioned are commands, not suggestions. They are commands. And that means obedience. But, and here is the key to everything I have so far mentioned, and it took me quite a time to discover this. In fact, it took me years. Nowhere do I read, fill yourself with the Spirit. I only ever read, be filled by this Holy Spirit. Or verses that say, they were filled, or he was filled. Being filled is the work of God. It's not something that we can do for ourselves. God doesn't say, fill yourself. He says, be filled. It's so very important for us to understand these points. I draw two important implications from this truth. Firstly, that the Holy Spirit is ready and willing to fill us at any moment, even right now. The second implication is this. We must therefore sincerely make ourselves, and here's that word again, available. Even the very best Christian preachers and teachers cannot make our hearts available. It's down to us alone. They might encourage us, they might inspire us, but it's for us to sincerely and reverently surrender ourselves to the one that loves us beyond measure. I say right now to myself and to you, don't let the world get in the way. God has called us. But I ask, why me? What's so special about me? I'm just an average, ordinary bloke. And maybe I can say without being sure, why you? What's so special about you? God has picked us out to be his. How does it feel, brothers and sisters, to be loved that much? God has chosen you. Wow. Yes, the power of the Holy Spirit is always there for us. And as already mentioned, at any time he is available, are we available? It's important for us to acknowledge that God is always switched on, waiting for us. So, if I could come up with a quick definition of what being filled with the Holy Spirit is, it would be something like this. A state in which the Holy Spirit is invited by us and is free to do all that he came into our lives to do. It's about surrendering totally our minds and our body to his will, and not our will or the world's will. The filling of the Spirit is not merely an emotional experience. It's not a happening that's reserved for a few super Christians, if there are such beings. It's nothing more than what should be a normal Christian way of life. The Holy Spirit in control of us, not the world in control of us, and not us in control of ourselves. Can we give up self-control? Can we learn to sing those lovely words? I surrender all. I surrender all. And really mean it. God is ready, willing, and able to fill any one of us at any time. He is more willing to fill us than we are to be filled. And if for some reason we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not due to God's reluctance. It's about us. Brothers and sisters, we do not have to beg God to do what he has already promised to do. Rather, it's like he is begging us. And God never begs. He doesn't have to. But he desires us to make the way clear in our own lives, so that he can do what he wants to do individually within each one of us, and also collectively as his church. The filling of the Holy Spirit is really as simple as that. As long as we are conscious of our need, and as long as we are willing to yield to him, we can be filled. But remember, we cannot fill ourselves. We must truly open our hearts to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We must, with truth and in sincerity, make ourselves available. And I repeat that again, make ourselves available. And if we can make ourselves available, surrendering fully to his will, there are amazing benefits awaiting our access. And if we surrender, they are all freebies, on cost of pain. Here's just some of the things that the Holy Spirit does individually within us. He guides us into truth. He regenerates us. He reveals Christ to us. He leads us. He sanctifies us. He empowers us. He teaches us to pray. He bears witness to us. He produces within us fruit. He anoints us. He washes us and renews us. He brings unity and oneness to our body. He reveals the deep things of God to us. He speaks to, in, and through us. He brings us liberty. He transforms us. He enables us. He supplies us. He reveals the mystery of God to us. He strengthens our spirit. He enables us to obey the truth. He bears witness to the truth in our conscience. He teaches us. He moves us. He casts out demons and he comforts us. He sets us free from the law of sin and death. He gives us access to God the Father. He dispenses the Father's love in our hearts. He gives us joy. He is our guarantee and deposit for everlasting life. He dwells in us. And if we make ourselves available, he will fill us accordingly. And what do those wonderful things cost? I've already mentioned that. For you and I, it's free. Jesus has paid the price. All he needs from us is our sincere availability. Amen. Amen.